Welcome to a special NBA show with me, Max Whittle, and him, Premier League goalkeeper Azmir Begovic. Plenty to talk about today. Who takes the title, the Golden State Warriors or the Toronto Raptors? The New Orleans Pelicans, suddenly intriguing, but we start today with the LA Lakers. We can't stop talking about them because they can't stop talking. Azmir, Magic Johnson was on First Take a couple of weeks ago. What was your standout moment from that program?
Well, Max, I mean, what an unbelievable interview it was. How can you pick just one quote from accusing Rob Pelinka of being a backstabber to many other things? But I think the one thing that stuck out to me was the fact that he talked to Jeannie Buss about taking the job. He talked to Jeannie Buss about being able to run his other businesses. Would he have to be there full time? She said, no, be Magic, do what you need to do. And I found that incredible because I think as an NBA executive, president of basketball operations, you have to be there full time. You have to be there every single day. I think now you can imagine someone like Daryl Morey, one of the best executives in the game, being scouting somewhere in Lithuania for the next big talent. So I think that really astounded me, the fact that he was allowed to not be there full time. Maybe they could have used him in a different capacity. So I think that's the one quote that stuck out to me.
And Magic knew what he was doing. The same day he went on the show, Frank Vogel was introduced as the Lakers head coach alongside Rob Pelinka. But Magic also talked about Jeannie Buss, obviously controlling owner. She has to streamline things now because we've heard a lot about Kurt Rambis, Linda Rambis, even Phil Jackson having says in who is the coach, who's working behind the scenes. What do you think Jeannie needs to do next? Because Magic is going to go away if he stops talking. The Lakers are still in a mess.
Absolutely. I think you've nailed it on the head. Just too many people running the show, too many people involved in this whole process. In my opinion, what she needs to do is clean house. I think we forgot someone like Tim Harris. He's involved, someone with very little basketball experience. I think she needs to get rid of a lot of these people and really be Jeannie, be Rob Pelinka, be your head coach. And I think try and keep this thing to as simple as possible and let these guys make the decisions they need to.
Tim Harris, of course, working in the business commercial side and saying that Luke Walton should stay while Magic wanted him fired. What do you make about the rumour as well that Jason Kidd going in as the assistant to Frank Vogel? He's obviously coached Giannis Antetokounmpo before, who we'll talk about later. Anything to that where Kidd's going to be there? Will Giannis go to the Lakers? I don't think so.
But. Well, Max, you know, in the NBA, we all like a conspiracy theory. I think that's the way it works. I would like to think not. You know, I hope that Jason Kidd there is for his qualities. I think he maybe he's suited to this role. I think as a head coach, it's been difficult at times for him. Maybe he hasn't had the success as a head coach that he should have. But we can't deny he was a great player. We can't deny he has incredible basketball knowledge. What we can definitely say is that he can maybe bring this on to the youngsters for the Lakers, the likes of Lonzo Ball, who many people have compared to Jason Kidd. So I think I'm hoping that he can really be there for the basketball side of things, and we'll let these conspiracy theories, let other people talk about them.
Two quick ones before we move on to the draft. Magic mentioned that the Lakers should go after Kawhi Leonard and or Kyrie Irving. Either of those two for you? Who would you prefer on the Lakers?
Well, I would prefer Kyrie Irving. I think we've seen before what Kyrie Irving and LeBron James and the same team can do together, the damage they can cause. And I think that puts them right up there with one of the best teams in the league if Kyrie Irving does decide to come to the Lakers. And this is where we talk about simplifying the process. I think you have the owner, I think you have Rob Pelinka now running basketball operations, and you get LeBron James in the room with Kyrie, and this may be what is the selling point. I think all the other mess and the circus around it will be very difficult. One guy you haven't touched on is Kemba Walker. I think he would be an incredible fit for the Los Angeles Lakers, being the point guard that he is, being able to create his own shot, score, take the load off LeBron James. So I think he would be an incredible fit as well.
And yes or no question, Magic says that LeBron James will absolutely win the chip with the Lakers. Do you think so or not?
I think he can. I think he still can. There's no doubt about it. Listen, LeBron James, one of my favorite players. I will never doubt his abilities. If he can stay healthy, if they can give him a surrounding cast, obviously a lot of the trade talks around Anthony Davis, if they can get him an Anthony Davis, if one of the other free agents, Kyrie Irving, Kemba Walker, can join him, then why couldn't this be a championship team?
So the Lakers moved up to number 4 for the draft this summer. None of the worst 6 teams finished in the top 2 after the lottery. We have to start with not the New York Knicks, but the New Orleans Pelicans, who have got the number 1 pick for this summer. 18 years old, Zion Williamson. What do you think of this man-child?
Well, he's phenomenal, isn't he? He's a phenom. He's someone who's going to change the direction of this franchise. Anyone who could get Zion will be over the moon, and I think he's someone who brings a lot of promise, going to bring so much hype to the game. And If he does this thing, then of course he's going to be a game changer for the Pelicans, that's for sure.
But I think the big question at the moment really is, you've got 4 or 5 years with Zion, this is your window, and suddenly Pelicans are relevant. David Griffin has a massive job on his hands. He's taken a lot of credit for winning the lottery, even though it wasn't really anything to do with him. Davis, this is the question. Can he keep him? Should he keep him? We'll talk about the packages in a minute. Do you believe that David Griffin, given his credentials with the Cavaliers previously, that he can keep Davis?
Well, one thing I know that you and I both like about David Griffin is the fact that he brings credibility to this franchise now. He has experience. He's won championships as an executive, so I think he brings an incredible amount of experience and knowledge to his job, and he's going to need it because figuring out this Anthony Davis situation isn't easy. My opinion, and it always has been, I think you sit down with him and his representatives and say, what is it, yes or no? Do you want to stay here long-term or do you not want to stay here long-term? And if he says no, then I think you have to find a solution this summer to move on, because now with the number one pick, you have Zion Williamson who he can build around and he can be given the keys to your franchise for many years to come. So I think having that in your back pocket allows you to be a little bit more aggressive with Anthony Davis and say yes or no. And if it's the no, then you find the right solution, because one of the best examples recently has been the Indiana Pacers and Oklahoma City Thunder. You had a disgruntled star in Paul George. What do you want to do? He wants to leave, 1 year left. You find the best package, you get Oladipo and Sabonis back, and the Indiana Pacers have been very, very happy since then and never looked back. So I think those are situations that really need to be looked at and I think could come to good use for the New Orleans Pelicans.
And even though Davis does want to leave, it is still a great situation to be in because you've now got Zion Williamson, you've got two-way player Jrue Holiday, and those packages that you're going to be able to potentially receive. The question really is, will the Pelicans deal with the Lakers? But if we run through those options for them, the Lakers we know can offer them Brandon Ingram, Lonzo Ball, Kyle Kuzma, Josh Hart, and Key. LA now have that fourth pick. Yeah. Boston, we know about Jason Tatum and Jaylen Brown. And the Knicks, Mitchell Robinson, Kevin Knox. But then you go down that list, Dennis Smith Jr., Frank Ntilikina, the two Mavericks first round picks. We're not sure who they will be. Which of those three teams do you like if Davis is moved?
Well, I think the package the Lakers can really offer to the New Orleans Pelicans is the best one. I think the fact that number four pick has got great value. And I think those players, you talked about Ingram, Kuzma, Ball, they're quite proven players. They've been in the league 2 or 3 years now, and I think they can play. And you team that up with Zion Williamson with the number four pick, I think this is a team that can almost be a playoff team right away. Why couldn't they be? And they can grow together, and I think they can build a core together. I think the New York Knicks package is very difficult to figure out because those Dallas picks mean a lot, but the fact, we know Dallas is not a tanking team. We know that Dallas wants to be competitive, and with the likes of Luka Doncic and Porzingis, they could be a playoff team. So those picks maybe don't have the same value that we think. And as the likes of Boston, if they were to throw in Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, then I think maybe that could be a close second to the Lakers. I don't know what you think, but for me, it's the Lakers who are the best package.
Lakers all day. And I don't think David Griffin, who has been given the keys to make this decision for himself, I don't think he's concerned about what happened over this past summer, the drama between the Pelicans and the Lakers. But moving down the list, number two, we've got the Memphis Grizzlies. Ja Morant is sitting right there, the point guard for Murray State. He's an exceptional talent. First college player ever to average 20 points and 10 assists in a single season. The question I want to talk about with Morant, though, Mike Conley, who has 2 years left on his deal with the Grizzlies, and well-dressed here to talk about Mike Conley.
That's right.
A good suitor is the Phoenix Suns. He was a great player last year, 21 points, 6 assists. He's still a very good asset. Do they keep him as a mentor if they do draft Morant, which we expect to, or do they trade him away and move forward immediately?
I think that you can touch on two things there. I think one, from a Grizzlies perspective, I think you'd like to move him on because if he can really be given the keys to your franchise, someone you can build around, and the fact that the Phoenix Suns are sitting there at 6 in need of a point guard, need of a veteran point guard, someone who can mentor their young players and really maybe look to take the next step in their development is someone like Mike Conley. That's the person you get. I would offer that number 6 pick to the Grizzlies. They get a 2 and a 6. They can rebuild. So I can really much see a deal happening there. I think it could really suit both sides, and both sides walking away from that sort of deal very, very happy.
And remember the Grizzlies as well. Jaren Jackson Jr. is another young player they've got. So they're looking good if they keep Conley or they don't. Another suitors for Conley, Utah, potentially whatever happens with Rubio. In Toronto next season, we're not sure what happens to Kawhi Leonard. If he stays or if he goes, I do think that Conley is an upgrade on Lowry. Number three is RJ Barrett, probably, to the New York Knicks. Given that they thought they were going to get Zion, I must remind Knicks fans, 40% chance of getting the number one pick means you have an 86% chance of not getting it.
I'm sure Knicks fans will. Thank you very much for reminding them.
Do you think they're going to accept Barrett with open arms, who was actually the consensus number one pick before this college season began?
Yeah, I mean, I think you can be very happy with RJ Barrett. Of course, I think he'll fit in there nicely. Depending on who they get in free agency, that could be a really nice pickup. But yeah, compared to Zion and what it means, what it could mean in New York, it's probably a little bit of a disappointment to them. But I think in the long run, RJ Barrett's going to be a very good NBA player, and I think they've got themselves a really good player, the number three pick.
Right, let's take a look at the rest of the draft picks. We talk about the Lakers here because that is a trade asset for them. But you've got a couple of names on the list. We've got DeAndre Hunter, Jarrett Culver. Do they add shooting next to Lonzo Ball? Does LeBron James want another development player who's going to take two or three seasons when his contract is up to really get into the NBA? Or do they trade it? What do you think the Lakers are going to do?
Well, I think ultimately we know that the Los Angeles Lakers are going to look to look to trade this number four pick. I think they're going to be very aggressive in that market to try and get proven players who've been accomplished and established in the NBAs to help LeBron and obviously chase that championship. So I think that'll be the first option. Second option, I think you'd like to go for some shooting. I think here, you know, you look at players that could potentially fill that need. DeAndre Hunter, I don't see them drafting him just because they already have some players in his position, so it'll be interesting to see what happens. But I think
you talked about Darius Garland from Vanderbilt, who can shoot.
I would think Darius Garland is a very nice pick there. He's the best shooter out of this sort of next crop of players after the number three pick. So for me, I know he's only played five games in Vanderbilt. He had an injury, a meniscus injury, but overall, I think with his age and upside and the shooting that he can, providing the fact that the Lakers were one of the worst shooting teams in the league, especially three-point shooting, he could really help in that aspect.
And the Cleveland Cavaliers at number five, I think the more intriguing thing to talk about here is not who they didn't get, because they could have had a top three pick, didn't end up with that. John Beilein, the 66-year-old new head coach of the Cavaliers, was previously with Michigan. That's a great gig. If you're at college and you've established a program, why he would leave? I understand that he had high expectations that the Cavs would pick up someone like a Zion, but now that they do not have a top four pick, do you think that was the right move for Beilein to go there?
Well, I could see his thinking probably. You know, you don't get a chance to go to the NBA every single day. He's probably achieved everything he thinks he can in Michigan, and this was the last chance to go to the NBA. From the Cavaliers' point of view, I thought maybe that was a bit of a surprising pick given the age that he is, 66 years old. I think maybe he's a younger coach, someone who can grow with the next core group of young players would have been a better choice. But at the same time, he has experience. He can mentor a lot of these younger players. And what do the Cavaliers do at five? I think they have Colin Sexton. I think they go with someone like DeAndre Hunter, who's a bit more of an athletic big man who can go both ways, who I think can complement Sexton a little bit more.
John Beilein tutoring Jordan Clarkson. Good luck with that, Mr. Beilein. You've talked about the Suns and the trade potentially, but there were rumors that if they did win the draft, they would actually select Morant, the point guard, over Zion, the man-child superstar. You sure with Kobe White potentially from North Carolina, speed to point guard, is that something you would consider as a Suns fan?
Well, again, I think if you can get a more proven player, I think this is the time now for the Phoenix Suns to look into that sort of option. Likes of Conley, likes of Lowry, maybe seeing what you can do to help these younger players, Devin Booker, and get some winning. You know, I think the Phoenix Suns fans, as myself, would say over the last few years have been starved of a winning team. So I think getting someone who's a little bit more established would help that. But at number six, the glaring need is a point guard. We know that it's common knowledge. So Kobe White would fit that bill, and that's who I would see them drafting at six if they stayed in there.
Just to throw one more into the fire, Memphis Grizzlies fans, you have finished second in a draft that selected LeBron James number one and Blake Griffin as well. So I hope they get this one right.
Don't overthink it, Grizzlies.
Don't overthink it. Suns too. Anyway, to the actual basketball games, because there is a reason why we have a draft, there is a reason why we have free agency, is to talk about basketball. The Golden State Warriors, their fifth consecutive NBA Finals appearance. The last time that happened, the Boston Celtics, between 1957 and 66. They made it 10 straight trips to the NBA Finals. Steve Kerr wasn't even born then. The moon landings that Stephen Curry doesn't even believe in were 8 years away. For the Raptors, this is their first ever Finals appearance. Looking forward to this one. Azmir, first of all, the most important direct matchup on the court for you in this series is who?
Well, I think we could talk about the obvious players, Durant versus Leonard and all these kind of guys, Iguodala against Siakam, but I think for me it's about the point guard matchup. I would definitely say Kyle Lowry has to step up in this series and really be effective against Steph Curry. In this series, we can't have 30-point Kyle Lowry and then 2-point Kyle Lowry. This is something where he has to be consistent and be very dependable and accountable this whole series. And has to slow down Steph Curry. So it's an incredible task to be effective on both ends of the floor, but something Kyle Lowry really has to do in this series for the Raptors to be successful.
Yeah, I'm going Durant against Kawhi. I think that's a big matchup because you have to tire Kawhi Leonard out. And I think the way that the Warriors want to play Leonard this series is isolate him on offense and also tire him out on the defensive side. So Kevin Durant, important for that one. The Warriors are 32-4 since they signed Durant when he doesn't play and Curry does. I don't think we can say that they're better without Durant. Yeah. I think that's a hot take. I don't like hot takes. But how would you classify the Warriors without Durant? Should he miss some games in this series?
I wouldn't say they're better or worse. They're just different. You can see now when you can in the playoffs when Kevin Durant has been missing that they've gone back to the old school Warriors. We're sharing the ball, lots of movement, everybody's involved. Whereas I think when Durant's in there, he becomes the key of that offense. He's the one that runs everything. Everything goes through him. And again, it's a great asset to have. It's a great weapon to have. So either way, the Golden State Warriors are a formidable team.
Draymond Green's motivation is really important to talk about with Durant out because we saw the tiff they had in December at the Staples Center against the Clippers. I think Green, alongside all of his Warriors teammates, just want to show, not just Durant, but the entire league, we did this before you came. We won a championship in 2015, and we can do it again. The bench. Now, the Raptors really only have rolled out three players in this postseason. Fred VanVleet, Serge Ibaka, and Norman Powell, who've been very up and down. VanVleet didn't get going till he had his second child in the Bucks series. Against the Warriors, you're looking at guys like Quinn Cook, Jordan Bell, Sean Livingston, and Alphonso McKinney has been important too. Who has the better bench? Because we've talked about the Bucks' depth in the conference finals, but now it's the Raptors.
Yeah, I think in this matchup, I don't see much difference. I think they're two very even benches. I think the Warriors guys have really stepped up in this playoffs and been accountable and someone they can rely on and really depend on. So I think I don't see much of a difference there, I think, in terms of talent. So I think both teams are very equal there. I think it's going to very much depend on what happens in the starting fives and who can get hot at the right time.
I think Kevon Looney plays an important role here too because Marc Gasol able to shoot that three if he's got confidence. So Looney out to the perimeter, also on the interior as well because like the Bucks, the Raptors will charge at you with Leonard, with Gasol, with Ibaka, physical players. Your X factor in this series, Pascal Siakam.
Yes.
Tell me why.
Well, Pascal Siakam, I think, has to be huge in this series. We talked about Kyle Lowry earlier. We know about Kawhi Leonard. We know about the top two players on the Raptors. Who can be that next guy to step up? With the sort of ammunition the Warriors have and the guys they have on their team, you're going to need that number 3, 4, and 5 guys to really step up and be great players in this series. I think Pascal Siakam has that potential this year, nominated for Most Improved Player. I think he's the one who has the potential to really step up and give you 25, maybe even 30 some nights. And if he does that, then it gives the Raptors a heck of a chance of winning.
And I'm going with Looney again. 13.2 points and 8.6 rebounds per 36 minutes. We have to talk about Kawhi Leonard. First of all, we saw what happened in that Bucks series. Is he healthy?
Well, it'll be interesting. I think he's going to be tired, that's for sure. Warriors are coming off 9 days of rest, which is for a veteran team incredible. We sometimes actually don't give Steve Kerr the credit he deserves because how he's managed these guys through the season, managed them for the marathon, not the sprint, to really peak at this time has been incredible. And you can see with Kawhi Leonard, he missed a lot of basketball last year. I know he's been paced throughout the season to be ready for this time, but still, going this deep in the playoffs isn't easy, and he will be tired, but he's a machine. He's a guy who I think can play through this fatigue and really be, you know, the great player that he is.
And it was a fantastic comeback by the Raptors, who were 2-0 down in that Bucks series. We saw those losses they had in Milwaukee to start the series. Leonard was isolated. He was trying to go 1-on-5. The Bucks were swarming him. His passes were late. He's not a great playmaker, we know that. But the Raptors' teammates didn't want to shoot either. In games 3 and 4 that they won back in Toronto, he was very much sharing the ball. Drive, kick, kick again, shot. The Warriors are going to try and force him into that. How will they defend him to get him into that funnel? Do you think that's the way they'll go with it?
That's the way they're going to start off with, you know, and let the other guys beat us. I think that'll be the motto for the Warriors. And that's where, for me, Kyle Lowry, Pascal Siakam, Marc Gasol, those guys are incredibly big. Because if they can hit those shots, then it will force the Warriors to go 1v1 and have to defend Kawhi Leonard 1v1. And that's when Kawhi then can be very dangerous and really take his game to the next level.
And Kawhi had his moment, his Raptors moment against the Sixers with the 4-bounce shot that went in. I'm going to ask you if you think he's staying and whether that shot has anything to do with his decision.
Well, I think that'll have an impact. I think the fact that he's gone to the finals and he's been able to achieve with the Raptors what he has is going to play a role. But ultimately, I just can't see Kawhi Leonard staying in Toronto for the long term. I think he's going to want to go to LA, want to go back to California. Most likely to the Clippers, we all believe. So I don't see him staying there long term, but hey, it's the NBA. Anything can happen at any time. So I wouldn't rule it out. But I think the bigger chances for him to leave Toronto.
Raptors, Warriors, prediction from you?
My prediction is Warriors in five.
I am agreeing with you on that one. But do not bet based on anything we have said. You can get in touch with Azmir at Azmir1 on Twitter. I'm at Max_Whittle. Make sure you follow NBA UK and Sky Sports NBA throughout the NBA Finals. Thanks for watching.